This is an oral history interview with Linda Clokey on board the SA Agulhas. It's the 10th of May 2011 on our way back from Marion Island.
Yeah.
So tell me, what were your team numbers and the years that you went to Marion?
My first year was 2005-2006. Mm-hmm. I was working at the Ocean Air in Port Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. So my first trip was actually a sabbatical. So, having worked with captive animals for 25 years, it was just fantastic to have the opportunity to go down. And I went down with MCM. But when I came back, obviously I had to work again for the government for another year. And I just somehow didn't get it right. So, my first year was 2005-2006. I worked for a year at the Oceanarium, and then I had a year to think about it, and I knew what I wanted to do. So it was back again, 2008-2009, that's M65, and then this one, M67, which we've just completed, so 2010 and 11.
Okay, brilliant. So the first one was then M62. Yeah, that makes sense. So you were on Marion. What exactly did you do on the island? Were you with MCM the whole time?
Yes. I like the project very much. It's not. It's censusing mainly.
The birds.
So basically, we're doing all the censusing of the birds on the island. The wonderful thing about it is the data goes through to an international convention, and obviously we're getting the facts back. So we can say there were 2 million rockhopper penguins that were breeding in the Southern Ocean on that year. Mm-hmm. I like that idea. So it's not hands-on. Yes, we do things like stomach pump the birds sometimes just to find out what they've been eating when they arrive on the islands. But mostly it's weighing animals or observing. And okay. I'm very comfortable with that.
Yeah. Brilliant. How did it happen that you went for the first time for the sabbatical? Well, you called it a sabbatical.
Alicia and Johan were actually in PE staying with me. And while we were there, because people had always said to me, you know, you should go to Marion Island all the way through, but I was working with the dolphins. Mm-hmm. There was no ways I was going to leave my babies. And things were not going well at the Oceanarium. And Johan was actually the one. We were sitting one evening, and he said to me, you should go to Marion. And I hadn't really thought about it, but they stayed with me that night, and I remember walking into the room in the morning saying, that's it, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And that was really how it happened.
So did you have an interest in Marion Island at all before?
Well, obviously working in Port Elizabeth, we were getting a lot of the elephant seals. I mean, at one stage we had 3-4 elephant seals there. We do have sub-Antarctic fur seals that we were rehabilitating, and really going back into the 80s when I think about it. The one year we had a sub-Antarctic fur seal that came up there, we rehabilitated it. We then put it on the Agulhas, and it was taken back down to be released. Now that was long before there was anything like diseases that people worried about. We still set it with a bucket of fish. They actually went towards Gough and they released it. I spoke to someone who was on that trip.
Yeah. My goodness.
So, yes, obviously.
And
PE is the closest place to Marion Island, so obviously animals have come up there. And, yes, I've known about, and we talk about it. I mean, always in our commentaries at the Oceanarium, we talked about it because we have a sub-Antarctic fur seal there that came in 1987, and she had a massive shark bite on her. And they said to me, put her down. I said, no. And I kept her alive, and eventually, I mean, she's still alive today. She's 30 years old.
Wow.
87. She came in as a yearling. So she's blind, she doesn't see, but the fact is she doesn't have to worry about anything because she's got her food, and obviously she gets talked about. She's marvelous. We can take her out with people. Because
so is she quite tame?
She works on her whiskers, so she follows you with her whiskers, because they've got more of these wonderful whiskers. So yes, so she's been great for Marion Island, and I always wanted to put up a Marion Island exhibit, which was what I was going to do when we came back at the museum, but it was, trying to get permits to get stuff back, and it was So I just gave lots of talks. I've given lots of talks. That's the best we can do.
What did you know about the island before you went?
I knew about the islands. I knew it was... I didn't realize how harsh it was. And also, having worked with animals in captivity, you tend to be a little hugger, you know? I'm passionate about the animals, and I'm there for the animals. I'm not there for anything else other than the animals. And for me, there is absolutely nothing better than spending a year there. To see the animals arrive, find their partners, breed, go back to sea, molt. I can never get enough of that.
Yeah. Describe the team preparations for the year. The first time that you went, the preparations that, especially the team preparations that you had to do with your teammates.
Well, the first team that I was in was quite a strange team because we were still doing our training in Pretoria, and we went, our team leader had been chosen. I cannot remember what his name was offhand, which is probably a good thing. But we arrived in Pretoria, and he fetched us from Joburg Airport, and we went camping in the Magaliesberg. We did abseiling. We did all sorts of things.
Was that a sanctioned thing, or did you do it as a team?
Well, he organized it. How he managed to organize it, I'm not sure. So the team training was very good. We did firefighting. We did the normal. But this was an extra. So we all had to go out there and kind of do a survival because he wanted everybody to sleep outside under the stars, which we did. And then we went back, and I think we had a week or so just to pack up and get back down to Cape Town. And I remember him phoning me. It was a Saturday morning, and I was leaving the Saturday afternoon because the Agulhas were sailing. And he asked me if he could borrow some money. And I said, well, look, I mean, we're all doing last-minute things. I'm going to be in Cape Town. I'll see you tomorrow. And if there's any money left over, I will certainly. But unbeknown to me, because this only came out afterwards, he had phoned one of two other team members. And he had actually borrowed. So anyway, when we get on Monday, we were waiting downstairs in the coffee shop like we were told to. And he doesn't arrive. Eventually, at about 9 o'clock, we go upstairs, and Henry Valentine, like, where have you been? What have you been doing? But anyway, our team leader had run away. We had no team leader. So they gave him until the next day at 12 o'clock. Nobody could get hold of him, and he was gone. So we had one team member short.
What was his role?
He was the senior medkasi.
Okay.
But he was the team leader. I mean, we were told to listen to everything that he had said because we had a very new team. No one had been before, except for Jan. I think he was there for a few months as a cat hunter. So nobody knew the island. And that was it. But he stole all our money. All our money for our clothes, all our money for our alcohol. He had told us to put it into his account, which we had all done. And then he just disappeared. Oh, it was a huge performance.
My goodness.
No, that was quite a huge performance. So Shorty de Blanche had just come back from from Sinai, literally still had his trommels packed, and he was in our team.
Oh, my goodness, he was just past the...
Yeah. With 2 days to go, he had to go and get all his supplies. Yeah, so that was my first year. That was my preparation. The second year was all in Cape Town, and that was a funny one because we had to go and do cooking lessons, and it was in the township. I don't know if anyone's told you about it. It was horrific.
Really?
There were cockroaches running all over the place. It was horrific. And they had fresh onions and all these things, and we said, you know, we can't cook with those. No point in even showing us. So anyway, that was also quite an interesting one. But this last one was very good. I think the cooking, they've got nice venues now, and Cape Town it's just nice. I think personally, from my point of view, there are a number of things that I would like to see done from the field assistant's point of view.
Like what?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of people don't deal with animals before they go there. They don't know anything about animals. I think more time should be spent with people and the animals, maybe in captivity, so they get to know what a seal is like beforehand. Ringing birds, properly trained. I think a lot more should be done with the behavior of the animals. You know, people just, they need to go and get to that seal and they don't care. They just walk through, whether they're shooting king penguins all over the place. I find there could be a lot extra work done on that kind of thing. I think the behavioural side needs to be looked at, because scientists don't think like that. I'm not a scientist. I'm an animal behaviourist. So that is always, I mean, whenever we're with the animals or I'm with the animals, I'm trying to make their life as normal as possible. And I think more people should be taught that. I really do believe we should be given a course or something, or someone should just talk to people and be aware, because they're only aware of the seals. They're not going to see a vagrant bird. Maybe you're lucky, but make them more aware of everything that's going on. Maybe a little bit more interaction. Let the sealers go out with the birders and the birders and the sealers and the hawkers. I would really recommend that. Having done 3 trips now, I still am quite horrified. At the end of the year, you still get people that are walking on azarella plants. And people in teams that are putting flagpoles in azarella plants. Now, I find that just not acceptable. But it's because they haven't been briefed properly. You know, looking at a picture is very different to the real thing. So I really do believe that a lot more. I mean, we're there for the animals. We're there for the plants. It belongs to them. We're just visitors there. And we really don't do enough of that. There's so much you can gain from it, too. I mean, how the animals move tells you so many things. But that's another story.
Did you have to make any preparations specifically for your job as a birder?
No, not really. I've been doing it all for a long time. So obviously, we have to make the animals, we want stomach samples, and in the old days they used to just kill the animals to be able to get stomach samples. This was done. And nowadays we pump them full of water and we make them regurgitate. Now obviously any animal that's coming in for rehab, we're doing the opposite. We're pumping them full of water to make them keep down, because they're in such bad condition. So yes, from catching animals, dealing with animals, no, for me. It's different, because what you see is really harsh and really cruel. Little chicks getting taken out by GPs and pulled apart, and I mean, you see some really, really cruel things, but it's life. And I think that watching all those things, it just puts everything into perspective. What these animals actually have to go through to be able to survive, how they do it without one word spoken, how 350,000 birds walk out of the ocean in 4 weeks and they've been gone for 6 months and they all know to walk out there. And I just go, wow, this is amazing. Amazing. Yeah.
Brilliant. Let's talk a bit about the journeys there. Every single time it was the Agalis. And do you remember who the captains were?
Well, Gavin is obviously, yeah. And then there was the other young captain. No, I can't remember what the captains are offhand. I just asked him, please drive safely.
Can you relate any interesting events or any such things on the journeys?
Yes. Coming back in the old days, we never had the come off. A very bad thing to have on the island, this come off. I would be very happy to see it go.
How so?
Oh, the downdraft on that is just not right. And the animals, especially like the elephant seals and that, they are very good at looking up, because, you know, they spend most of their life 400 meters below, so they're always looking up. And they see this, and when you're flying, you can see the seals running. And the disturbance to the king penguins, because I sit there and I watch. When they're flying over, I'm the one that's on the ground watching, because that's what I do. And look, you can fly in the sky, that's fine, but that is just too big and too loud. The small helicopters are much better. And hopefully we'll get smaller than that. Anyway, so what you're saying is, yes, in the old days we never had the couple. And we had the helicopters inside the hangars, and we used to braai on our last night, tonight.
Yeah.
We'd be braaiing up at the top there.
Oh, okay.
And socializing, and really it was fun. And the one time, when we were going back in 2006, there was all this phosphorus in the water. All the water was green. It just came alive. Oh, it was magnificent. It was like an aurora in the water.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and then waiting for the lights. I think we sat there all night waiting for the lights.
Lights from the coast.
Yeah. you see a car, you go, oh no. And then you wake up in the morning and you see the smog and you go, oh no, no, no.
That's what awaits for us tomorrow.
I know.
So, what were your first thoughts on arriving at Marion first time? And obviously subsequent times as well.
Oh, now it's just so different. Now it's like for me, it's really, for me, a place that I belong. I find that I'm the happiest there than I've... Yeah, I really am happy there. I've always had a job that's been my exercise. You know, with the dolphins, I was diving with them all the time. And so my exercise has always been my job. And I really like to push myself to the limit. So being out there, I mean, I know I walk out there in the morning and so many times I think, what would I rather be doing right now? And I can never think of anything. I just, comfortable, yes.
Do you spend time without going to you, or just, do you immediately start going into the field?
Me, when I go back?
Yes.
Now, oh, I can go straight into the field. I mean, that's all I really want to do. But yes, they go around and they show me all the things again. And we just discuss what they found because I was there before. And no, I think the hardest part about takeover is at that time of the year, I remember my first one, not really knowing much about the island. We never had GPSs in those days, or we didn't use them. And I mean, most of the time, as you know, you couldn't see anything. You just couldn't see because it was either misty or ice pellets or the weather was so bad. But now this is the first time at takeover that we've had absolutely perfect weather. We took those two birds around the island in fantastic weather. I mean, really not Marion weather at all. And it just makes such a difference because for the first time, when you arrive there, you get a whole view of the island. I mean, most of the time you don't know where you are or what you're doing or where you're going. So, yeah, and I think now it's easy for me to kind of train them because I made them walk with a map. You know, it's all the things that I missed when I went for the first time that nobody told me about. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy. And now, obviously, there's all the coordinates, there's everything. I mean, they just need to... They can just walk there now.
Brilliant. So they don't need to spend that much time being... Well, sort of the training that you give them is...
Well, everything is documented there. You know, everything is documented there now. So with different colonies and new things and unusual, and then we've started now with all the animal injuries, especially the penguins that you see. And we're doing seal penguin predation, you know, at Good Hope Bay, and we do an hour studying, just watching and observing there. Little extra things, little extra things. You've got to keep yourself busy.
Of course. What sort of things did the outgoing team tell you? Did it some personal things or
items? My first year.
Yeah, well, all of the years.
Well, for the rest of them, they knew me because I was kind of before. And then when I wasn't here for that year, the girl that was here was one of my... In fact, Jared, who was my partner in 2008, was one of my students at the Oceanarium.
Yeah.
And Michelle was also one of my... They came as my kids, you know. Yeah. So it's been quite nice. It's been a continuity. And all the time that I'm there, I know what's going on here anyway. So it's just become... Like, the last kind of 6 years has really been all about Marion. But the very first time I came and I had these two people who didn't really work that well together, you know how that does happen. And I remember this girl walking up to me, it was the first time seeing an albatross, and walking up to this bird just standing up going, da da da, shucks, there's got to be another way to do this, you know. And we were walking and we're going over Azabella, and he says, and you walk this way until you feel the wind change direction and then you go that way. I'm going, yeah.
Really?
That was the kind of training that we were given. So the first year, I had many, many scary times. At one stage, getting lost here in Nelly's arms, I thought I was going to have a heart attack because I could see base. And then I'd go down and up, and it was getting dark, and I'd already been up to snook. I got lost. I just carried on. I really thought I was going to have a heart attack. very scared. I love this island. It brings out, that's why I love the dolphins as well. It brings out all these emotions. It can all happen in one day. Bomb. Like scared, happy, yay, this is fantastic. It all just happens in one day.
That's true. Okay, let's talk a bit about life on the base. Although I know you didn't spend that much time on the base because you like being in the field. Okay, describe a day of in the life of a birder.
Well, with being a birder, mm-hmm. one good thing about being a birder is the birds come and go. Mm-hmm. So we're working with a whole lot of different species throughout the year. So as one bird is arriving, then he starts nesting, then the next one's going to arrive. So you're working with different animals all the time. So it's never boring. It's never boring. And the more you're out there, the more you're going to see. So, like now when you start off, I mean, you're new on the island, you're unfit for these people now. And we need to go out to the Gentoo penguins, the Ship's Cove. So we walk every day, we must go out there. And you know, it gets dark at 5 o'clock and the animals only arrive on the island about that time. So you got to run back to base. So you get fit very quickly. So that's this time of the year. And then, of course, it just gets more and more. By the time December comes, you've got the rock hoppers, you've got the mackies, you've got GPs, you've got everything's nesting at the same time. So it's a nice, gentle introduction to it. Not a very good time of the year. But and then, of course, you watch these wonderful animals doing all these things, and these most cutest chicks. Oh! And then August arrives, and the skuas arrive, and in one day, he'll take out 16 chicks. And you've got to just watch it. Documented, and these little chicks have been getting so well. And then one skewer, yeah. And now I know all the skewers because they've all been banded. I know all the skewers and all the colonies. And it's always just for me, just something new to find out. Like there was one of the skewers, there were three lots this year, and one had two wives. And we, from our monitoring colony, which is where they operate, because you'd always have a skewer operating one colony, we did not even have one chick survive. From 102 nests, they wiped out the whole lot. Yes.
Oh, that's awful.
Yes. So next year, check it out, and you see if there's more skewers around, but the one had two, I see. Now that's also odd. So, yeah, there's always something that's going on.
Brilliant. And when did you become environmental officer? Was it only for this year?
And 2008 as well.
Okay, so officer then as well. Mm. Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a moment. Now, what are the challenges living on that island?
For me, it's the weather. That's the biggest challenge I have. I think with this new base, which is absolutely fantastic, you're going to have a lot of problems with people getting cabin fever, not wanting to go out. And you know what happens? When people don't go out, eventually they get too nervous to go out. And it happens. I've seen it happen many times. You just got to get out there. I mean, that's where you're going to see what you want to see. Mm. It's going to be, yeah, they've made it very nice and cozy, I must say. Mm. It's a lovely base.
Oh, no, what made living on the island worthwhile?
Well, the animals, obviously. I'm just watching the whole cycle and the animals. Don't ever forget, I also live in my little PWD hut down there on the
bay. Oh, of course. You don't actually live in the base.
I do live in the base, yes. I go and stay down there whenever I can because it's just, I've kind of stayed there for 2 years now. It's just colder. I can hear the animals and I don't know. You know, I'm old. I'm not a kid anymore, and I've been on my own for so long. And like having people next to me is I'm a loner, I guess. Yeah. I really don't mind my own company. I mean, you learn how to look after yourself there. That's funny how that does it to you. Because now I'm never bored. Always find something to do. It just teaches you another way. But you also become a little bit of an outcast. Like now when I get home, I know everybody wants to see you and you're around. And the next thing I'll know, I'll find myself in the corner of a garden or something, just alone. It does make you a bit strange.
Now, three teams. Could you compare the team dynamic in a way?
I think this year we had a lot of challenges because we had to move base. Look, you know, like the older I get, the younger the teams get, so it's like being mom a lot of the time. I don't really get myself too involved. I mean, I'm always there and I'm drinking with them, and but I don't get, it's because, you know, then there's always
little niggles
and I have no clue about the gossip, but I always hear that through the grapevine, normally a week or so later. That doesn't interest me, that's not why I go there. But I'm always there. So, yeah, I really don't have a problem with that. It's like you're just living past each other. You chat to each other, but I'm not there to be your best friend. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to Marion Island to make friends. Mm-hmm. You will be my friend because obviously our goal is the same. Mm-hmm. But
fair enough. So what did you do for entertainment or relaxation?
I normally, this is why also I like my PWD hat. I'm in the field till late. I normally get up and go at about 10 o'clock so that I can be back later. Then I will eat my supper, and then I go and have my beer and my cigarette, and I punch my data. And I cannot do that in base because there's no way I can sit with a computer and do that. That's another reason why I like it down there. I get a nice chair, it's the same old desk that I've been working on, and that's what I do a lot of that. Sometimes I work till 1, 2 in the morning, and I find I'll go through everything. I'll go through this bird, like these albatrosses, I can go back in all the data and I can find out he used to be married to this one and now he's with that one. And that's, yeah, what I do. I find myself little stories all the time. They were the animals.
Do you have electricity, or did you have electricity in that little...
Yes, but there's no internet or anything like that. The first year I had it. But, but it's ice cold. Nobody wants to come visit you. It's freezing down there. I don't turn the heat on.
Do you just like the solitude?
No, I like it. I don't know what it is. It's just the noises. You wake up and I can hear the elephant seals. I can hear the rock hopper penguins. I can hear, you know, in the bass, you don't hear any of that. There's a constant like this.
I mean,
do that at home.
That's true. Did you have any interaction or any communication at all with the other bases, with Goff or Sunai?
But before, we've had darts games against Sunai on the Skype and other teams. And other teams. But
international teams? When you say other teams?
No, when we were here in 2008, we often played darts against Sunai.
Oh, okay.
The base, the people in the base there, through Skype. And they always used to win because they always cheated.
And you never cheated.
No.
It was a busy year for you with the moving of the base, and also the building of the base. How was your interaction like, the team's interaction especially, with the PWD guys?
When are you talking about, in the beginning or now? Because over the years,
has it changed over the years?
I think really what, for me, is quite sad. I know the dynamics of what went into building that, because we were there when it was just, I was here in 2005 when that only just started. I remember them working there at 10 o'clock with the snow falling and putting the roof on and the cranes falling over and people were just about freezing to death out there, and it was hard work. And then people will come in this year and know we must move into the base and moan about it. And they don't know what actually went into. I mean, if you think about the logistics of trying to build a base like that, where everything has to be measured up, made in South Africa, shipped here, helicoptered onto the island in a crate, undone, it doesn't fit. Now what do? You got to make a plan. So nothing, you can't expect. It's perfect as it is, but I mean, you can't. So I think that's must always be in people's heads, you know, the logistics of what went into putting that place together. Obviously very sad to see old bags go, but it's time. Pulling that down is going to be a nightmare. I just worry about all those animals around there and picking up stuff. Oh, look, I get goosebumps even thinking about it. Because, you know, animals pick up things, nesting material, or whatever the case may be, and someone is going to have to be on that 24/7. Those little pennies are always around.
Yeah.
The timing is going to have to be right.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, but did you have a lot of interaction with the guys while they were building the base?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's especially in the old days when you know we were first in 2005. Obviously, we were all living in the base together, and no, I mean they're my friends, and I've known them for a long time. So.
Can you recall any incidents, sort of particularly pleasant incidents that you sort of experienced while living on the island, sort of in the base? What, even though you weren't living in the base, but sort of with the people?
With the PWD people?
Yeah, no, well, the team members.
Oh, yeah, we have fun all the time.
Mm.
Oh, no, constantly having fun.
What do you do?
To say, oh, man, we sit and drink, otherwise we play games. This team watched lots of movies. Other teams I've been in, we played games, lots of games. And yeah, I don't know, you just find things to do. This because we had such a nice movie house, you know. And two movie houses, in fact.
Yeah,
so, yeah, the ones that didn't smoke were there, and the ones that, well, did smoke and didn't smoke were there. Two movies were always going, so there was always, there wasn't really that much kind of interaction as so, with the chatting. But we played games before in the old base there, all those old games. And of course you have all these dressing up parties and people's birthdays. No, it's good fun.
How do you think the dynamic changed from the old base to the new base?
I think there's so many times you walk around, you don't see anyone. Mm. You know, there you're always bumping into someone. If you walk down the passage, if I walked into base and you walked down the passage, someone was around. Mm. But the new base, if everybody's got their door closed, which we had to do because of the mice, it looks like a hotel.
Mm.
So, yeah, your privacy, I think, is, there's far, yeah, but again, the walls are so thin, you can chat to your friend through the wall. it's just, you know, it's for a year. It's fantastic. I mean, these people have no idea how nice this is. If they haven't ever had to live in the old days, or future teams to come down.
Yeah. Well, how do you think the way that people will worked in, engaged with one another, sort of, is it, you think it's changing, it's going to change with the new base being so different and being so large?
It is, because there's so many things to do as well. I mean, you've got the gym, you can go and work in the lab, you're here and everything. Although in the lab it's very nice now that we're all together, so that everybody is working, so you can chat. They'll be doing scats and we'll be doing stomach samples, or then normally we've all got that kind of thing, work to do at that same time of the year. But for your just, yeah, you can walk around there looking for someone because you, but on the PA system, obviously you can pull them out of all their little holes. Mm. Just call them.
Are there any incidents that you recall that you'd rather, that weren't that great in terms of team interaction? Team, people not getting along?
I don't really get myself too involved. And I know I had a little bit of a to-do with someone because being a CO officer and all sorts of things, I can talk about it. In fact, I don't care. It was the comms, you know, in the huts.
Mm-hmm.
And because we had a radio tech that never once went round to look at any of the radios, obviously the comms were just worse and worse and worse all the time, which is putting our lives in danger. And then he would insist that we did comms twice a day, which is absolutely flippin' ridiculous. And then he wants to send out search parties at lunchtime, which is also even more ridiculous. Meanwhile, all we really needed was a radio that you could pick up and talk on. So and everybody was talking about it, because it was always a new plan and a new this, and then we got extra things that we had to carry. And I said to him, no, I mean, you must get out to the flipping huts, that's your job. And it became a bit of a nasty thing. Eventually he did put his back on his back and he went out, was the only hut night that he ever had. And yes, we then commended him on that. But I just think, yeah, for me, that was the worst part. Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't think he did his job properly, so, and I can't handle that.
So your job as environmental officer, what did it entail?
Well, I've been spraying the alien plants, obviously looking at all the mice, the isopods, making sure people keep their light, turn their lights off, and picking up things in the field. Just always, and especially now, we put some new conservation rules together for the new base, and I also put together stuff for field etiquette. You know, like people. I mean, there's something else I just remembered. People don't know how to even walk around a burrow. Have anyone ever told you how to walk around a burrow?
No.
You see, these things are not in there. And this is what I'm trying to slowly put in there. How to move around animals. It boils down to the same thing all the time. And I'd really like to put like a handbook or something together for that. But still, when you're working with animals, it's all done by example. You cannot read out of a book how to work with an animal, no. So that would be my aim, yeah.
Okay.
More.
Almost done. Okay. So how was it like working with DEA? Because they were there a lot, especially now the last team. The officials from DEA were there.
Fine.
So they didn't give you any problems.
No, I don't have those problems. I don't.
And how was it moving base?
Oh, hard work. Yeah. Because, I mean, those labs, I mean, everything's been in there for years and years and years. And yeah. But we were the first to move. I thought, let's just get this done. So we were the first to actually move in there.
Okay. Describe Marion. Any way you like.
I think Marion Island is probably one of the most character building experiences one can ever have. I think when I watch, especially the younger people now, come and how they blossom, absolutely blossom. You know, it teaches you to be brave. It teaches you self-confidence. It gives it back at you. I mean, you have to work at getting all these things. But I just wish more people could find themselves, you know. I think people find themselves there. You have to, otherwise you're going to go cuckoo. And you spend a lot of time on your own. So what would I, how would I do? I for me, it's just flipping heaven, I don't know. I just love it there. It's hard work, but very hard work.
Now, what do you think are general misconceptions about the island?
I don't think people, when I say, the first time I said to someone, I'm going to marry an island. They thought I was going to get married in Ireland. People don't know. And maybe it's good that they don't know, because otherwise more, you know, they're going to come and want to poke and prod the animals more than what they do anyway. I mean, already in my time, I've seen how the animal numbers have dropped in the areas where the humans are. And when, like, takeover comes, they just pour on those animals. That side of the island, compared to the other side of the island with the animals, it's like chalk and cheese. And that's just in time that I've seen. So, I just think it's a very good kept secret. I don't know, I just feel that the right people should be here, you know? I mean, a lot of these people just come here for the money. A lot of them, most of them are working on their own project. That's the difference. See, that's, for me, I have a little bit of a problem with that. See, it's for me. Those people are not going to put in as much compassion or whatever it is for anything.
They're only working on their own project.
They're working on their own project.
No, I do think it's important, or do you think it's important that South Africa has a base?
Listen, we want to talk about science. I have a big problem with science. In the fact that I'm not a scientist, yes, I notice all these things and do all these things. But yes, everything is for me. I must write a paper. This one's going to try and just say something about that paper. And some of them are, because they're hogwash you've ever heard in your life before, I would want to ask all those scientists, especially the ones that are poking and prodding the birds and things, what are those animals going to gain from it? You tell me what those animals living on this island are going to gain from what you're doing. And I still have not had an answer. Now that's what I have a problem with. If they can tell me they're doing disease control, I say, that's fine. We can do disease control, but what are you going to do about it if there's an outbreak? And they cannot tell me anything. Now, I don't think that's right. Why should those animals have to suffer? And maybe you should turn off now.
Is there anything else that you would like to add about your time on Marion or your experience in SAPE?
No, I really just feel that anybody who has the opportunity not to go for a takeover, that's really not what it's all about. That doesn't interest me in the least. To actually go and live and breathe that island for a year, it is such a privilege. And if you go down there for a year and you can't see that, then, and some people don't, eh? A lot of people don't.
Thanks.
Yeah.